2 Kings chapter 6. I want to talk to you about spiritual warfare. It is no doubt that there is spiritual war. There's no doubt about that. If you got one spiritual bone in your body, you'd have to say amen. There is a spiritual war going on. Now, it didn't just start with the coronavirus, and it didn't start with Black Lives Matter, and it didn't start with modernist preachers and compromising churches. This has been going on since the foundation of the world. It started in heaven.
Right.
Sin started in heaven. Now, God didn't create sin, but He created the one that did sin. And Satan, his name was Lucifer at that time, the bright and shining one. And he was the cherub that covered. He covered God's throne. And when God was off the throne one day, he said, I will. He said, I will 5 times. He said, I'll sit on that throne. I'll be like the Most High God. And God said, no, you won't. I'm putting this in condensed version, okay? And so God cast him out, but he took a third of the angels with him. Now, an angel is an angelic being. It is an eternal, immortal being, created being. It's not a spook. It's not a spook. It doesn't haunt houses. An angel has the strength of 1,000 men. There are no female angels. All the angels in the Bible are recognized as men. They're always addressed as him or he. They're always recognized as Michael or whatever, you know. But they're not men either. They're sexless. They don't bear children. They don't procreate. They were created to serve God, and that was all they were created for. Now, so Satan brought rebellion in heaven. He brought warfare in heaven. And, of course, that wasn't real smart. God cast him down to the earth. Now, he's not in hell. A lot of people think Satan is in hell. Satan is not in hell. Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. He's alive and well on planet Earth. He appears before the throne of God still. God makes him answer for what he's doing. And you remember the story of Job. God said that Lucifer appeared to Satan, appeared to God, and God said, what you been doing? He said, I've been going to and fro in the earth. And we know the Bible says that he's like a roaring lion. He goeth to and fro, seeking whom he may devour or destroy. Sounds like war to me, doesn't it? You?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Now God turned him loose on Job. He turned him loose. He said, he got down to he could even have his body, but you can't have his soul. And then Job repented. If you go, most people don't really read the book of Job. In chapter 42, he repents of his self-righteousness. And he gets right with God. And God takes Satan away from him and restores everything that was taken from him by Satan plus. Now that's spiritual warfare. And then we come over here in 2 Kings and in chapter 6, if we'll start with verse 11, I think. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Now he had a spy in the camp, and he was trying to find out who the spy was. And one of his servants says, none, my lord. He said, there's no spy, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. In other words, God had given Elisha the ability to know what's going to happen next so that the children of Israel could defend themselves. And he said, go and spy where he is that I may send and fetch him. Fetch. Did you see that, Jeffrey? Fetch. That's a Bible word. Quit making fun of us, Brother Michael. Quit making fun of us. That's a Bible word. Fetch. Amen. over yonder, fetch, vittles, that's a Bible word, vittles, chunk. Anyway, verse 13, he said, go and spy where he is, I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. Now this king sent an army against Elisha. One man. But he sent a whole army after him. And they came by night and compassed the city about. I kind of feel like the president sitting in the White House. There's a whole army round about him just waiting to get him. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, he went outside. Behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Elisha's servant said, did you see this army out here that's come to get you? How are we going to get out of this? Now, see, you got to know original South Carolina English to be able to explain all this stuff. So. How are we going to get out of this? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now, wait a minute. This servant, he'd been sleeping in the same room Elisha was. There wasn't nobody in there but him and Elisha. He didn't bring an army with him. There were no guards around there. He said, but cheer up. Fear not. Because those that are with us are more than those that are against us. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. He's talking about the other army. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now, if that ain't spiritual battle, what you got? And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I'll bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. He took them out of there. He said, hey, you're at the wrong place. And I ain't the man you're looking for, but they're blind now. They can't see. So he led them somewhere else. Now, I read all that to show you that this is a picture that's always been going on. Now, if God, Brother Jeffrey, if God would open our eyes like he did this servant and let us see the spiritual world around us, and the war that is going on right now, we'd literally have a heart attack. I mean, there are demonic forces, just like here, a whole army of demonic driven men, a whole army of them driven by the devil, go to get God's people and destroy them, in this case, Elisha and his servant. But God already had his army there waiting on them. Amen. Now, if we could see what's going on, there's battles going on over me and you every day.
Thank you, Lord.
Spiritual battles. I'm getting chill bumps. I feel them. Amen. Yeah. Amen. The Bible says the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that love him. I remember my Suzanne and Becky, they were real little, 3 or 4 or 5, 4 years old, I guess. And I came home from work, second shift one night, and they were in the room. Their mama said they were afraid or something. So I went in there, and I was going to comfort them. I said, babies, y'all don't have to be afraid. The Bible says the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that love him. They went, it scared them to death. They had never heard nothing like that. But you know what? Right now, the day you got saved, The day you accepted Jesus Christ, a battle began.
Right.
Now, the devil knows he can't have you. Jesus said, you're in my hand, my hand's in the Father's hand, no man can pluck you out. But he also knows that he can influence you and the circumstances around you and the things that are going on. My wife and I, we took a group to Northside Baptist Church in Charlotte back when it was a fundamental Baptist church. It was the biggest independent fundamental Baptist church in the Carolinas at that time. It would seat about 2,000 or 3,000 people. And I'd heard Dr. Hudson, the pastor there, he had a Sunday night weekly radio program, and I'd listened to him, and I had heard how he had had a dealing with a demonic, a demon-possessed young lady. And he told the whole story. And I'm not going to tell the whole story. She was the daughter of a witch and a warlock in Atlanta, Georgia. And her mom and daddy had a coven, and they trained witches and warlocks, and they ordained these heavy metal singers albums and stuff so they'd make a big hit. And she told about all this, but she didn't even like rock music. She said, I don't like rock music. I listen to classical music. But long story short, she was real young. She didn't really listen to him on the radio. Just she was passionate and knob fell off. And she had to listen to his preaching. And she'd never heard anything about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. She'd heard of Jesus Christ. She'd heard that he died, but she didn't know why. And she'd never heard all that. And so she called him up. She stopped at the telephone, called him up, and wanted no more. And he began to tell her. When he said something about, did you know that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin? Then a demon took over and spoke through her. And anyway, she ended up coming to the church and to so he could counsel with her. And he had his youth pastor in there with him. And they had set up a secret camera to film it in case this was a trick or something, you know. And so they'd set up a camera to film it. And but they didn't get it, but just pieces of it, because she didn't sit where they wanted her to sit. The devil knows. And really all you could just about see is her feet. At one time you can see her face and her eyes roll back in her head at one time. But she said this. She said that one of the demons said this. As they were questioning her, the youth pastor said, do you know about Jesus Christ? Do you know about the crucifixion? Do you know about the blood of Jesus? And that demon, you could hear it on there. The demon growled out of her in a man's voice, and it had a British accent of all things. And it said, we know about that. We were there. We saw the whole bloody mess. We were there. We saw it. We were there at Korah when the earth swallowed Korah and his family. We saw it. We were there at creation. We were there. We know this. And as they began to go back and forth, one of the voices comes through as another man and talks about PTL and Jim Baker before it ever happened. Before it ever happened, they told it on that thing. Not in complete detail, but just enough so now I look back and I said, that's what they were talking about. Because he mentioned Jim Baker's name. And he told that boy, he said, she touched his knee and said, we can do for you what we did for Jim Baker and your friends over there. And things like that. So let me tell you something. There's a spiritual battle going on out there right now. And what we see on planet Earth is just some of the ripples.
Right.
Some of the ripples from that disturbance. What we feel is just a little bit of the emotions that are going on in the spiritual world around us. I believe there's a battle for our country right now in the spiritual world. No other country has ever sent out gospel literature like this country has. No other country has sent out missionaries. Millions of missionaries have went from this country like no other country has done that. More Bibles have been printed in this country. No other country has ever printed that. The thousands and hundreds of millions of Bibles have been sent out. And don't you think that upsets the devil and his crowd?
Yes.
Don't you think that would cause them to go to war? Just that would cause them. No country's had as many people believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as this country has. This country, this church in this country, I'm talking about all those that claim to believe and are born again. This church in this country has already done more than the first century church. Can you imagine how that upsets the spiritual world? Well, how are we going to deal with that? That's the problem. You know, there's fortune tellers. I tell people this all the time. There's two kind of fortune tellers. There's the fortune teller that's just a crook. Will lie to you. But there's another kind that's demon possessed. And these demonic, angelic beings can foretell something before it ever happens because they can set it up down the road.
That's it.
Well, you're going to get a new, this tall, dark, rich stranger is going to come in your life. And then that demon tells some other demons, go over and get so-and-so. We've been working on him. I want you to have him down there at such a time, and I'm going to have her down there at such and such a time. That's happening.
Yeah.
Car wrecks. Accidents. That's that. There is a battle going on. Amen. It's scary when you think about it. And if God would open our eyes like He opened the eyes of this servant, Isaiah said it would drive a man mad. You know, a lot of people, when I was growing up, most of you, they invented LSD. And it wasn't against the law. It was not a medication. It wasn't a pharmacy. It wasn't a narcotic. It was chemical. And I remember going places and meeting up with other teenagers and stuff, you know, and they'd have the little sugar cube, or they'd have the little dots, you know, and they had all different kind of names for the LSD, you know. And I never did it. And the reason I never did it is because I'm weak-minded. I'll be honest with you. I saw what it did to some people, and I'm extreme. I guess you already figured that out. I'm extreme. And I knew if I ever went down that road, I wouldn't be coming back. I knew it. I knew I'd end up somewhere laying with a needle in my arm. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. And it's just the grace of God. I didn't, when all the rest of them did. But I'd watch them take trips, and I'd be with them. I'd be with them. They'd trip out, and some of them flip out. And just lose their mind for 8 hours and go crazy and scared and scream and holler and run and everything else. Do you think maybe that stuff might just open up their eyes a little bit where they might just see that other world a little bit? Might have. But anyway, we live in a world that's just not what we see. We think, well, there's a coronavirus, people are getting sick, some are dying. It's more than that. Well, there's riots, and people are burning, and they're rioting, and they're hurting, and they're killing. There's a purpose behind that. Well, we've got this one political party, and they seem just determined to destroy our country. Could there be more behind that? Well, certainly there is. And then we sin. And when we get through sinning, we say, why did I do that? How did that happen? How did I let myself do that? Y'all still with me?
Oh, yeah. Amen.
There's spiritual wickedness in high places that we can't see. And it influences mankind. And God knows that. There's a war going on, and it's going to end in the greatest war, which is going to be Armageddon.
Yes.
And that's a spiritual war, too. That's not just a physical war. And if you'll go back and see the wars that Israel had, and you'll read them, you'll find out there were spiritual things going on. It's the reason the war was happening. An invasion happened. It was spiritual things. So we need to start looking at ourselves as spiritual beings and start thinking. I've thought on this more and more today. Start thinking of ourselves more in the spiritual realm than we do in the physical realm. This physical is going to die. My spirit's never going to die. I'm going to live as long as God lives. God would have to die for me to die. I've got eternal life. Now, I need to look at myself as an eternal spirit being that's in a mortal body. Then I can go to 1 Corinthians and understand when he says this mortal must put on immortality. My spirit being needs a, which is immortal, needs a body that's immortal. Now when we get to that point, we're going to be living in a spiritual realm all the time. There won't be any more physical realm. It'll all be spiritual. But we fight, look, we fight. Every battle you had today was really a spiritual battle. Every accident, if you had one today, it was really a spiritual thing. Every bit of anger, every bit of disappointment, everything as a child of God, that's those fiery darts of the devil. He's throwing these demons at us. He's attacking us every day, all day long. And let me tell you something. The more you do for God, the more he's going to attack.
Amen.
Did you notice that the devil got that king to send an army after one little old fellow named Elisha?
Yep.
Just one guy. Why? Because he was the only one doing anything. And I found out since 1981 when I started preaching in 80 and I was licensed in 82, 83, I've been in a battle. Battles, and more battles. And the more successful I am in the Christian life or in the ministry, the worse the battles come.
Yeah.
I'll just go ahead and tell you, if the devil never attacks you, it's because he's not scared you're going to do anything. If you don't do anything, he's not going to bother you. And I'm afraid that's why he doesn't attack most Christians nowadays. And I'm afraid that's why he doesn't attack most churches nowadays. They're not doing anything anyway. So, what are we going to do? Well, I got to think about it. What am I going to do? Well, if I'm a Christian, we got to go to the New Testament. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. If I'm a Christian, that means Christ-like, a follower of Christ's teaching, a disciple of Christ. If I'm a Christian, then I must look at this battle spiritually the way Jesus Christ looked at the battle. So how do I deal with my spiritual battles? We're in the middle of one right now. Folks, they're scared. They're scared to death. They're scared. That's a battle. How did Jesus do it? Look at Matthew chapter 4. And you know the story. Jesus has gone up into the wilderness. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now that tells me that even Jesus Christ himself, because he's in the flesh, in order to fulfill his purpose on earth, had to be tempted, had to be in the battle, a spiritual battle with Satan himself. Now, but it also tells me this. He was led up of the what?
Spirit.
That tells me the Holy Spirit's in every battle I'm in.
Amen.
And it tells me more than that. Do you think that the Holy Spirit looked at Elisha over there just now getting out of bed, wiping his eyes, and his servant over there running around? And the Holy Spirit looked over there and said, uh-oh, I didn't know this was going to happen. No, the Holy Spirit led him there.
Amen.
If I'm in a spiritual battle, if I'm in spiritual warfare, God the Holy Ghost had to allow it.
Amen.
Go back to Job. But go farther than that. I have the Holy Spirit living in me and he walks with me and talks with me and guides me. So he has guided me in every spiritual battle I've been in. People say, look what the devil did to me. Yeah, but if the Holy Spirit didn't put you there, it wouldn't happen. Maybe it's testing you. So Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, is led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be what? To be tempted of the devil. And so are we. So are we. Now, why would God do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're going to get to that. Hang on. Now, number 2, look at verse 4. Well, let's just read it all so you have context. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was after hunger. Now, his flesh is weak. Yeah, need. He's hungry, real hungry. I can't go 4 hours, much less 40 days. And he's weak. I get the shakes. I get nervous. I get hangry. You know, and, but 40 days, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Well, he knew he was the Son of God. He's putting a question mark there. But he answered and said, it is written, Jesus is talking, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. Now, listen, Jesus realized that Satan was attacking the flesh, but he also realized that through the Word of God, the Spirit of God can resist Satan. Now, we can't do it on our own. The flesh is just weak. We can't resist the devil. We can't do anything with the devil. If you think you can, he's already got you deceived. But he recognized the Spirit's potential in this picture. If we're going to fight a spiritual war, y'all still with me? And we're in a war. If we're going to fight it, we need to realize, number one, there's a plan of the Holy Spirit to put me there in the first place. Number two, I got to realize if the Spirit has the plan, He has the potential to give me the victory.
Amen.
Through the Word of God. That's my sword. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if I'm going to fight, I need me a sword. And the devil's, his just one-edged. I got a two-edged sword. Amen. Amen. And then I want you to notice, look at, let's just read on. Verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and saith him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. See, he's using the Word of God against him. That's what they do to us, ain't it?
Yep, it sure is.
He shall give his angels charge concerning thee in their hand, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again. Now Jesus is turning the word on him now. He said, all right, let me quote you some. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. In other words, he said, who you think you're talking to? You quoting the word to me, I'm the one that wrote it. Who do you think you're talking to?
Yeah.
Devil not near as smart as we give him credit for, is he? Amen, amen. Now, verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into a exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Now, listen to this. Satan is telling Jesus, I want to show you all that I've got. And you can have it. You can have all of that if you just bow down and worship me. But you know what? Jesus regarded his purpose, his own purpose. And his purpose was to glorify God the Father. Not to get what his flesh would want, but to glorify the Father. Is that not our purpose in this battle? Is to glorify God the Father.
Amen.
A good soldier or Marine, or I don't know much about it, I never did it, but I know this, they've been trained to honor the leader, not to do what they want. And if we as Christians stop doing what we want, and start doing what glorifies our leader, the Lord Jesus Christ, we could win these battles.
That's right.
Instead, we just give in because the devil's doing something we want, and we give in. What we'll do is say, yeah, devil, I'd like to have that. That'd be good. But I'm not here to get that. I'm here to glorify my Father, which is in heaven. So there's too much me and self about the Christian life today we live in. Then look at verse 14. I would do it all. I don't have time to do it all. But verse 14, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Now, Jesus, look, well, I better read it so you'll understand, okay? Verse 10, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
Amen.
And then the devil leaveth him. Behold, angels came and ministered unto him, as they did Elisha, and as they will to us. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came to Capernaum and the sea coast. And I want you to know, 14, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet. Now, our purpose is to glorify God. But then, whenever we glorify God, we need to remain where we are, so that he can give us more strength for the next battle, because it is written already that we will have more battles.
Amen.
Now, we might end up like John the Baptist, as it was written, and have our head cut off. That was his last battle. But he said, he won the prize.
That's right.
Now, maybe this week will be my last battle, and I may end up crossing over into glory. But it's not my job to worry about what's going to be my last or my greatest. My job is to go on to glorify the Father, and whatever the Holy Spirit puts me into his plan, and he gives me the potential, and there's a purpose there, then I need to remain there in the Spirit's power, and then I need to go on after the victory to the next battle. Most people don't go any farther after that first battle. They're so exhausted, they give up. I don't want to live like that. Christian life's too hard, they say. I used to say that myself. I'd say, I can't be a Christian. That's too hard, you know. And then, if you look at it with me, Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm not getting all my sermon, but how Jesus dealt with a spiritual warfare, okay? Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 12 and 13. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. Here's what we got to remember as we're in our spiritual warfare, as we try to be like Jesus, and we know it's in the Spirit's plan, and we know the Spirit has the potential to bring us through his word, and we regard his purpose, not our purpose, and then we remain wherever he stops. We will stay there and get our strength back and wait for the next thing. Well, what do we do? Well, we got to remember what Joshua said, the battle's not ours, but it's the Lord's.
Yes, sir.
Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, that's rulership out there somewhere, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He's not talking about Washington. This is way higher than the president. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I've watched those old war movies, you know, and these guys get scared. They're getting shot at. Their friends are falling out. And they say, Sergeant, we got to go. He said, stand your ground.
Amen.
You stand right there. We're going to get killed. Well, if we die, we're going to die fighting. We're not going to die running. And so many Christians get in spiritual warfare, and the old devil gets the upper hand on them because they don't know enough about the Bible to know what's going on. And they get scared, and they run, and they get out of church, and they get out of God's will, and they get out of their family, and they get out of everything that's spiritual. And the old devil's just laughing at them, when if they had just stood still, as he told Joshua, and see the salvation of the Lord, God would have tore those walls down. Just stand. Put on that armor. Put on that armor. Put on that helmet. Put on those shoes. And then just stand there and say, all right, devil, give me your best shot. Now, Billy Burgess tells me I ought not preach like this because I'll make the devil mad and he'll come after me. But I got news for you. If you've ever done anything for God, he's already after you. Amen. Ain't no need to stop now. Amen. No need to back up now. Just stand. If you can't do nothing else, if you can't charge, just stand. Amen. And Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Right. See, we don't know this spiritual battle. We've already won it.
Yeah.
We've already won.
Yes.
I mean, through the word of God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the authority to go down to the gates of hell itself and snatch out those who even smell like the fire before they drop off into hell. Somewhere out there, there's a gates of hell for somebody, and they're about to go through those gates, take that final step and say that final no, and take that final breath, and they're going to die and go to a devil's hell. And it's our job to get in the battle and run over and grab them before they jump off the cliff and say, look, you don't have to be defeated. Jesus has already won the war. All you got to do is sign up. He'll take care of you. Amen. Now, that's spiritual battle we're in. There's a lot of politicians I don't like. But I had to turn them off. I had to turn them off. They make me so mad in the flesh.
Yeah.
Now, in my spirit, I know what they are. Some of them demon-possessed.
Right.
And the ones that aren't demon-possessed are demon-influenced.
Yeah.
A lot of people's not possessed. Even some Christians are demon-influenced. Right. It's from the outside.
Yeah.
And I did, boy, again this week I had to remind myself, Ron, this battle's not yours, this battle's the Lord's.
Amen.
If this country goes under, it's the Lord's.
That's right.
If churches go under, they're the Lord's.
Amen.
If Christians go under, they're the Lord's. If you go under, preacher, you're the Lord's. So just stand.
Yes.
And let God do the fighting.
Yes.
Y'all still with me?
Oh, yeah.
Now, we're going to go out those doors a minute, Jeffrey, and you're all alone down there. You can call me if you get scared, okay? You can come over to the house. My wife will keep them off. But I got news for you. We're going to go out that door and we're going back into war. We just took a little break tonight. That's all you do. When you come to church, just take a little break. You come in, you get your gas tank, your spiritual gas tank filled, your mental gas tank filled, and then you go out those doors into highways and hedges. And look, it's a fight.
Yes.
As long as in this world, long as you're in this world and you're a born again child of God, Brother Billy, Satan and his demons are going to attack you and attack you and attack you and attack you. And the only reason we don't see it, God hadn't opened our eyes, but you can see it in the circumstances and you can see it in the results of these battles. We need to stand our ground. I don't always know what to do, but I can stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I don't always know what to say, but I can stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's what I'm going to do. I think like this, Brother Fortson, I get excited. I think, what has God got going on here? I mean, if the devil is so upset and the war has gotten so big, there must be something fabulous that's about to happen. Because every time old Satan jumps on me, something good happens after he gets through. Amen. God will push him off and say, that's my boy, leave him alone. Jesus says, that's my brother, that's my friend. You get off of him, I got something for him to do yet. He ain't dead. Amen. So let's go back and fight. And when we don't know how to fight, let's just go back and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your inerrant, inspired, infallible word. Lord, there's a lot more there than I preached tonight. So much more there. But Lord, I pray you'd open our spiritual eyes.
Yes, Lord.
Open our eyes of understanding, our ears that we might hear, eyes we might see. And Lord, help us to stop looking at things carnally, because carnality is death. And this old flesh is going to die, but our spirit's going to live forever, Lord. Open our spiritual eyes like you did Elisha's servant. Let's get a glimpse of what you've got in glory that you'll send down here to take care of us. God, if you'd opened up heaven that day, Jesus was hanging on the cross. God, he said he could have called 10,000 angels. I bet there was two or three platoons or whatever they call them of 10,000 just looking over the banisters of heaven saying, Father, let's go down there and fix this mess. But thank God he didn't let them go, because I wouldn't have been saved if they'd brought him off the cross. Now, I don't know everything that's going on in my life and these people's life, but God, I'm not going to say take it off unless it's your will.
Thank you,
because there might be something good to come out of this battle. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help Sister Shirley in her battle for with that cancer, God. There's something good going on there, God. I don't know what it is. Something good going on there. Oh, Edward, you've raised him up from the dead three times. Three times. There's got to be something good going on there, God. In our families, Lord. Oh, God. Help us see things spiritually. And then help us this Sunday. Come down in this place. Send down your Shekinah glory. Fill this house with your glory. So much that we'll be like the priest. All we can do is lay on our face and weep and cry. Oh God, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Reclaim our land, God. This is a missionary land, God. So Bible printing land, a gospel printing land. God, save your land so others can be saved in this old world. And I know it's all in your plan. I know it is. There's things going on we don't know nothing about. But we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We got to sing. I don't know if I can.